secret society. They're doing what they need to bring a white man to a team. We gotta wake up now. White man, a stand. If we all fall together, we can take back our land. Think that you wanna agree. Come on, gonna agree. A new one for you and me. Find a way. Save our great race. Find a way. Save a great race. Time ago now, we were given Christianity. But now we've woken up and we walk into the deep. Our flag is flying high, a banner without hell. There is no stopping us, the white race will prevail. Wipe people away.
Sisters, welcome to the Creativity Power Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Hardy Lloyd, Pontifex Maximus of the Church of Ben Clausen, world leader of creativity and great promoter of the Holy Faith. Check us out online at creativityreligion.com, creativityreligion.com, and churchofbenclausen.org, where you can download all the holy books for free, including the Creativity Manual, which I wrote. Third edition is up right now. This is a special edition. This show plus the next two are going to be by request. Hopefully the cat does not interrupt us. We got a lot of new recruits and members and supporters who are new to creativity, who want to understand how to follow it, how to preach it, how to live it. Have asked me, especially out of Canada and Eastern Europe, have asked me to come up with some shows to talk about that. So this is going to be part one. Part one is going to talk about the creed and program of creativity, what we are, what we are not. Part two will be about recruitment, and part three will be about performing an actual service. So now I want to understand something. You can go on the website and download the Creativity Manual 3rd edition. I will write a fourth edition. There's a couple things that I left out of the third edition, but you can go and download that for free, and that will give you a basic run. I've designed it so that it's got a rundown of the creed and program and what we believe in, how to recruit people, how to deal with debates, and how to practice creativity daily and weekly, and how to perform a service. That's all in there. So go to the website, creativityreligion.com, churchofbenclausen.org, and download that for free. That will that will you know, that will show you everything, and the Little White Book too. The Little White Book, you can download that for free. Excuse me. All that on the website. And by the way, check out our brand new blog, which is now hosted by our free speech host at creativity1973.org. Now, there's over the past 2 years, we've basically, well, me, Joe, and a couple other people have kind of been screwing around on social media and the blog and the various blogs we've had because they keep getting taken down. We've been screwing around a little bit, but we are now going to get serious. Halloween was basically our time to kind of party and get all that out of us. So we're going to start to get more serious online. The Creativity Power Hour shows that I do are pretty much serious anyway, but we've been kind of screwing around a little bit. But the blog, since it's now attached to the free speech host, it's going to be just serious stuff. You know, before, you know, it didn't matter if we cluttered it up because it was just it was on Blogger, and that was more for spite against the Jews and against the ARA fags and whatnot. But now we're going to get serious again. It's just been a lot of crap going on. As you know, I've also been very busy, so sorry about these shows kind of being a little bit late. But I was recording, I recorded, what, six or eight videos for our, oh, that's right. Check out our videos. Our church videos are on BitChute. So BitChute.com/Reverend Hardy Lloyd. And that's where you'll find our BitChute videos. We also have accounts on Odyssey and Rumble, but we haven't uploaded anything to that. People do want to call in, so I might, instead of TalkShoe, which has technical glitches, you know, like every other week, Odyssey is supposed to be really good in free speech, so people want to call in, so we may do that. But anyway, let's just jump right in. Yes, kitty. I've tried to lock the cat in the bedroom, and this is not, it doesn't work. She starts flipping out. So anyway, I want to start. I got Rahoa in the background. I have not uploaded that. You can get that off BitChute. I've downloaded mine from BitChute. But Rahoa only came out with two albums and then two singles after that. But it's really good. It's a creativity band. Or was. I mean, the albums are obviously creativity. Anyway, so let's jump into part one of Creativity, Creed, and Practice. So that's what this is going to be. Creativity, Creed, and Practice, part one. So we're going to talk about actually what is creativity. So this is really for newbies and people that may have read about creativity in the past but never really, but didn't convert until recently. So I'm gonna read the five fundamental beliefs real quick here. This is to be memorized and repeated five times a day. Based on the eternal laws of nature, history, logic, and common sense, we creators believe that our race is our religion. We believe that the white race is nature's finest. We believe that racial loyalty is the greatest of all honors and racial treason is the worst of all crimes. We believe that what is good for the white race is the highest virtue and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is the only salvation for the white race. To the fulfillment of these religious beliefs, we creators forever pledge our lives, our sacred honor, and our religious zeal. Rahoa, total white victory. That's it. In a nutshell, that is what we creators believe in. That's what we're fighting for. Creativity, let me get down to what creativity is. Excuse me. Creativity is not basic white power. It's not part of the white power movement. We are our own movement. We are not right or left. We're not center. We're not libertarian. We are not third position. We are what I refer to as fourth position. We are our own belief system, our own movement within the white race. Creativity is all we care about. We believe in the religion that Ben Clausen wrote, that he founded back in 1973. We follow his holy teachings, his commandments that he wrote. We don't follow, we are not, you know, Hitlerites. We don't believe in any creed that's not race-based. We don't believe in any creed that is nationalistic-based. We don't believe in anything that's Nordicist-based. We completely reject Odinism. We don't have a problem really with Odinists, as they are following a nature-based creed that's organic to the white race. However, that evolved specifically out of the Germanic and Nordic tribes of Europa, and it is not, it doesn't encapsulate the white race as a whole. And neither does Nazism. Nazism may have been a great attempt in the modern age of the white man fighting back, but once again, it is a very nationalistic creed. It focuses primarily on political, economic issues, not so much on racial and spiritual, philosophical issues. Yes, there is some spiritual philosophy in National Socialism. I prefer the term Nazism, really. But there is some. There's also other sects of Nazism. There's Nazi mysticism, which I used to be before I converted to creativity 21 years ago. But it doesn't, it's narrowly focused. It's like looking at looking at the white race and the white race's problems through a keyhole. Granted, it's a keyhole where you see the truth, but you're only seeing a fraction of the truth. Creativity sees the whole truth. Basically, it's like the right-left, this is the way I describe it. You have the right-left box, which is what the sheeple, the infidels, the mud people believe in. They're part of the right-left box. They're stuck in this Jewish trap, you know, of believing that voting for this or supporting that somehow leads to freedom from the Jewish tyranny, when the Jews actually set up the whole system. The Jews set up the right-left box. They set up modern-day nationalism and capitalism, communism, Christ insanity, Muhammad insanity, Moses insanity. The Jews have invented all this stuff. So you have the right-left box, which is basically like the United States versus Canada. And then you have third positionists, which are white racial loyalists that usually follow, say, Odinism, Wotanism, Nazism, maybe their Christian identity. They're part of third position. They sit on top of Mount Everest and see the whole world. Then you have creativity. The creator, a follower of creativity, we refer to ourselves as creators. A creator sits on top of the universe and observes everything. That's where creativity is. That's the main difference between creativity and, say, white racial loyalty in third position. Is basic white racial loyalty in third position focuses on the earth, whereas the right-left box focuses just on a local city or a country. So, but we creators focus on everything. The end, the beginning, the alpha, the omega, the white race, nature, life, death, everything that came before us, everything to come still. That's what we focus on. Creativity is a spiritual philosophy. It is the soul of the white race. We don't believe in spookism. We don't believe in the supernatural. We reject that completely. We believe in logic and common sense. We believe in the scientific method. But spirituality doesn't necessarily mean spookism. Let me turn off the music here. Sorry. Creativity focuses, or creativity does believe in the spiritual essence of what it is to be white. And spirituality just denotes a philosophy that is deeply set inside one's bones, one's DNA. When we talk about soul, when we talk about spirituality, we're talking about the feelings, the emotions, the mind, the heart, the DNA of what it is to be a white person. We're not talking about something that's supernatural, something that, we have no proof this exists, but we have faith that it exists. It's nothing like that. We know, we can feel in our hearts when we love or hate something. We feel that. And that's what creativity recognizes. It recognizes that that is the soul of being white, that that is the spiritual philosophy of what it is to be a white person, to be alive, to have the white mind, to have the white soul, the white emotions, white needs, white loves, white hates, these things. That's what creativity focuses on. So when I say things like soul and spirituality, that's what I mean. It's the deeply held genetic philosophy of what it is to be white. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, we are not a, we are not like the, as I said, we are not part of, I don't consider creativity part of the white power movement. We are the movement for the religion of creativity. That's what creativity is. It's its own movement. We truly do not believe in nationalism, in modern day traditionalism. We don't believe in runaway capitalism. We don't believe in Christ insanity. We don't believe in Christian identity or paganism or Odinism. We don't believe in these things. We see them all as having some type of detriment to the white race. Excuse me. Obviously, someone with Christian identity, at least they're white, they're racially conscious, they know that the Jew is evil, but their mind's a little bit warped, you know. They bring a lot of mythology that you don't need. They bring a lot of this weird mumbo-jumbo baggage into their white racial loyalty that doesn't need to be there. We don't need to have a concept of heaven and hell to do what's right. I've served a total of 12 years in incarceration simply for promoting my religion. My religion has no afterlife. That's another thing. We don't believe in heaven and hell. We don't believe in an afterlife. There is nothing. I want this to sink in. This is very important. This shows you the power of creativity right here for somebody like me who truly believes in it. We have no reward. I do what's right. I follow the 16 commandments of creativity because I know it's right. I know it must be followed. I don't believe I'm going to get 72 virgins or whatever it is. I don't believe I'm going to go to the celestial kingdom like Mormons believe. I don't believe that I'm going to be rewarded by Yahweh or Jehovah or Allah just because I kill a couple of Jews and I die, you know, believing in some mythological fairy tale book. I'm doing what's right because I really believe it. I have served a total of 12 years, you know, and I face death all the time. I get death threats every week. And I face death all the time knowing that there's no afterlife, that when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's it. Because I'm doing the right thing. I'm following the laws of nature. Nature says every creature has to focus on its species and that there's a certain genetic code that each creature has to follow in line with its species. This is what we believe in. And so I suffer and I face death every day, not with the hope of virgins or the celestial kingdom or what have you upon death. It's that I'm doing what is right, that I'm doing what is in the best interest of my people, my race, my religion, my species, and that through my sacrifice, my children will be able to continue, and through their sacrifice, their children, and so on and so forth. Once again, we have no promise of reward for suffering in life. We have no promise of a celestial kingdom when we die. We simply are doing what is right because we know in our hearts and our minds that creativity and the 16 commandments are correct. I want that to sink in. That's power. That's power. So many people, they get arrested, they do like 4 or 6 or 8 months or 9 months in jail. And they're like, oh, I don't want to be a racialist anymore. You know, or they need some type of spookism to compel them to do what's right. I've heard this from several different Christian identity people in my life, because I've had over 30 years of activism under my belt. I've heard this from Christian identity people over the years. Well, if we're not being compelled by Yahweh to do this, whatever, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever mythical sky daddy they believe in, but they've told me if we're not being compelled by Jesus, you know, to do these things, then what's the point? Then why are we fighting? Well, you're fighting because that's instinct. You're fighting because nature that created the universe wants you to do that. It's in your DNA. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to fight back when something threatens you or your offspring. You're supposed to do that when something threatens your home or your food source. You're supposed to attack them. This is instinct. This is nature wants us to have. We don't need no sky daddy to tell us this. We don't need no promise of celestial kingdom or a bunch of virgins. We don't need that. We do it because it's instinctual, because we know in our heart that it's the right thing to do, because it's the natural thing to do. I've even heard from Odinists. They're like, well, you know, if we reject Christian identity, then we have to go back to the religions of our forefathers, and that means paganism. And therefore, if we don't follow that, then we have no connection to our ancestors. You are connected to your ancestors through your blood, through the blood that flows in your veins, through the DNA that makes your body function. You are connected to white people that have lived tens of thousands of years ago, 100,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago. You are connected to them because of your DNA. You don't need no spook religion to do this for you. You don't need to resurrect some kind of, you know, cultural ways that really have no place in society today, or that really don't make any sense when you think about them logically. You don't need that to be connected. You are connected because you're alive. And when you're dead, you're still going to be connected, because the DNA that's in you, that used to be in them, that was in you, is now in your offspring, and then in your grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. You don't need that. We creators reject this need to have a supernatural push for us to do the right thing. We do it, we suffer, and we die gladly, because we know that this is the right thing to do, that we're living the way the universe wants us to live. And for us, that's enough. We don't need any spooky mumbo jumbo to add mythology to everything. We are alive, and our race is alive, and that's all that matters. And some people will try to flip it on you. Well, you know, you'll hear this, though, from right-winger faggots who aren't even in the white power movement. But you'll hear this a lot sometimes from Christian Identity, usually, though, from right-wingers, you know, these Jew-loving kosher conservatives, is they'll say, well, you know, if you're not being compelled by some sky daddy, you know, with the threat of hell and the reward of heaven, then, you know, why would you do what's right? We do what's right because it's instinct. We do what's right because we know it's the right thing to do. I don't need to be told by some Casper the Friendly Ghost or Dracula. I don't have to be told what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. And thanks to Ben Clausen, we have in plain black and white English, and this is one of the reasons I love creativity so much, is in plain black and white English, through his holy words, we have it all spelled out for us. In plain English, who we are, who we are fighting against, and how we're supposed to live, in plain black and white English. That is the genius of Ben Clausen. Let me go over these 16 commandments real quick. We got a lot of different things here. I am reading from the Little White Book. As I said, you can go to our website and download these things for free. Nature's Eternal Religion is the book that started it all, published in 1973. The White Man's Bible expands upon that creed. There's the fourth pillar, salubrious living, is talked about first in the White Man's Bible. Salubrious living does expand upon that. That is canon, but it's not a commandment. You don't have to. I want to make this absolutely clear. You do not have to be, you do not have to be salubrious in order to be a creator. You don't have to eat vegan, is what I'm saying. You don't have to just eat raw fruits and veggies. Everything I buy is either organic, or I seek out labels where they have the fewest added non-natural ingredients added. Now, I understand you have chemtrails, you have pesticides, you have fluoride. These things are harming the environment, and thereby even organic food is going to have some poisons in it. You know, chemtrails pretty much poison the whole fucking planet. There's nothing we can do about it. However, buying organic or buying non-organic that has the least amount of additives, that's good enough. I mean, as far as trying to be healthy, but you don't have to eat. You don't have to just be vegan or eat only fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains, because that's actually what salubrious living calls for as a strict diet. But it is not commanded. Ben Clausen said that because a lot of people have come to me and saying, do I really have to eat this way? No, you don't. Ben Clausen said, look, if you follow salubrious living, if you follow this book, you will be healthy through most of your life. And by being healthy, you'll be able to fight more for the white race. That's what that's about. It's not about that you have, it's not a commandment. It's like in Mormonism. It's not a commandment that you don't drink alcohol or coffee. Even Mormons get that wrong. It's a suggestion. It's a suggestion for better living. So I want to be absolutely clear about that, because every month I get one or two people that say, do I actually have to eat this way? No, you don't. That was actually the only question that I actually asked before I joined the old WCOTC, because I converted a couple months prior after reading Nature's Eternal Religion. I couldn't even put the book down. I just read the whole thing. And then I converted, but it took me a couple months before I joined Matt Hale, because I was like, well, this is a religion. It's supposed to be in your heart and your soul and your mind, you know, and your daily practices and living. Do I need to join a group? And it was the largest creativity group at the time. And so it made sense. So that's why I joined it. Plus, I really believe that Matt Hale was sincere for the most part in what he was doing. I don't think that he was using creativity. A lot of people have said that. I don't believe that. I think he was sincere. So that's enough. Those are the two reasons why I joined the old WCOTC. But that was the question that I asked. I was like, do I really have to eat this way? And in fact, that's the only issue I ever actually took. Because let's face it, organic or not, I love a good steak. I don't really drink a lot of alcohol. Mostly I do drink Roman wine. I drink it the Roman way, because we do venerate. We have a couple of mythoses in creativity. We take a lot of inspiration from ancient Rome, from the Greco-Roman Republic, as well as not so much the Empire days as the Republic days, and also from the American Wild West, which also for white people who are from Latin America, you kind of have that same Wild West history in Argentina. Argentina and Brazil do have that wild, more so in Argentina, though, do have that Wild West history. But those are the two eras of the white man's history that we really look to for inspiration. They just really encapsulate what it is to be white and the white race as a whole. Ancient Rome showed the great heights that the white race collectively could achieve working together, because we do believe in what we refer to as racial socialism. No, not communism and lefty bullshit. Socialism with the actual definition, which is organized society, organized government. That's all socialism means. The crap you hear in Canada, in the United States, and Europe today, that's all communism, Bolshevism, that's Marxism, that's taking a word and then turning it into a proper noun. Socialism is not a proper noun, it is a general noun. But we believe in what we refer to as racial socialism, meaning the white race organized along racial and political principles. That's what that means. We're not anti gun rights. We're very pro gun rights. Now, that's another thing. Some people do take issue. They think, well, you know, if you come to power, wouldn't that just be another kind of dictatorship? No. Creative Credo 65 clearly states that all creators have a right to self-defense with guns, have a right to free speech, have a right to choose their own medical treatment. This is all basic civil rights beliefs that we have for our own people. That's Creative Credo 65 in the White Man's Bible, if you want to look that up. I'm kind of jumping around a bit here, but I want to point that out, though, that as I said, with Rome, it's through the white race coming together, organizing around themselves, around a racially conscious society, which we refer to by name as racial socialism, under the banner of creativity. But back then, they just said it was white. You know, I mean, society was just white, because that's just the way it was. You know, you didn't have mud people back then. And what few you did have were kept in their place or kept out. Once again, this is more so the Republic days than the Empire days, is before the Jews really got their hooks into things. But that shows ancient Rome. And I think we can look at ancient Egypt and ancient Greece as well as ancient Rome as really showing what the white race can do when they do come together, you know, as a collective organized race. They build these wonderful cities and monuments and all this type of art and architecture and science and philosophy. You know, the ancient white societies, this was just a staple. You know, there was no Jews to have to worry about. Everybody was racially conscious. Everybody followed the laws of nature. And so we see that. And in the Wild West, what we see, primarily the Wild West of the United States, what we see is we see both individually and collectively the white race rising to the top, overcoming adversity, great amounts of tragedy and hardship, sometimes conquering a continent, sometimes with just a handful of homesteaders. But once again, the white man being racially conscious, coming together, man, woman, and child in the family unit, and collectively racial socialism in the city unit, the county unit, coming together, fortifying, building up. I mean, no matter where the white man goes, he just builds. He builds and he creates. That's why we refer to ourselves as creators. We are a race of creators. But let's get back into basic beliefs. So, basic creed. So, the 16 commandments. Let me read this off to you. Now, these do have to be followed. And I want to point out, because there's people try to claim, what is it? I do network with people that aren't white, but I network with them against the Jews, against, you know, the black supremacists. I always put creativity in the white race first. There's, which commandment is it? Oh, I think it's number 7. I think 3 and 7 are the ones that people try to point to me. There's nothing wrong with networking. Most creators, this will probably never happen, but I've been politically and racially active for over 30 years. And when I first got started, I was white power, but I networked with non-whites that were anti-Jew, anti-communist. I want to point that out because there's always some smartass that says that that's a violation of creativity. No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with utilizing mud people that hate the Jews and that hate the niggers just as much as we do. There's a lot of mud people, and that's just a general word. I'm not trying to be insulting here. That's just a general creativity word for non-white. Most mud people don't want to be around. They want to be around their own people, their own culture. They don't want to. They know that the Jews are evil. They know that communism is bad. They know that niggers are just basically beasts that can never, ever be civilized. And they share a lot of that with us. I'm not saying you need to go like our people in Eastern Europe. I'm not saying you have to go in and form alliances or even close connections with, say, Turks or Arabs or Mongolians. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that because somebody always brings this up in reference to my own 30 plus years of activism history is, I have networked and continue to network with non-whites that are anti-Jew and pro-racial separation. Because at the end of the day, what we are fighting for is not just to unite our people under the banner, the sole religion of creativity. We're not just, wanting to kick the Jews and niggers out of our lands. We at the end of the day, we're fighting for a racially conscious, white, solely white state where we separate ourselves from the non-whites. That's what we're fighting for. If anybody asks you that, let me just put this out here before I read the 16 commandments. If somebody ever wants you to just simply say, give a simple statement of what creativity is, what you as a creator believe in, you can A, just rattle off the 5 fundamental beliefs of creativity, boom, leave it at that. Or B, you can say and or say, that we believe in racial separation and a racially conscious white state that follows the teachings of Ben Clausen and creativity. And boom, that's it. Very simple. None of this, we want to resurrect Odin. We want to bring about the apocalypse so some cannibalistic Jewish zombie can rise from the dead or some weird shit. None of this fucking fairy tale garbage. Pure and simple. We want to separate the races and live in a racially conscious white-only state under the banner of creativity. That's what we want. Anyway, so let me read the 16 commandments here. These have to be followed every day. It is the avowed duty and holy responsibility. This is number 1. It is the avowed duty and holy responsibility of each generation to assure and secure for all time the existence of the white race upon the face of this planet. Number two, be fruitful and multiply. Do your part in helping to populate the world with your own kind. It is our sacred goal to populate the lands of the earth with white people exclusively. Number three, remember that the inferior colored races are our deadly enemies and that the most dangerous of all is the Jewish race. It is our immediate objective to relentlessly expand the white race and keep shrinking our enemies. Number four, the guiding principle of all your actions shall be what is best for the white race. That's very important. That's the way I live every day. As I said, I do network with some mud people that are anti-Jew, anti-nigger, but I always put creativity in the white race first. That's what all creators are supposed to do. Number five, you shall keep your race pure. Pollution of the white race is a heinous crime against nature and against your own race. Number six, your first loyalty belongs to the white race. Seven, show preferential treatment in business dealings with members of your own race. Phase out all dealings with Jews as soon as possible. Do not employ niggers or other coloreds. Have social contacts only with members of your own racial family. That's always the one that people try to quote at me. But once again, networking with mud people against the Jews is a weapon. I will say, though, I do follow the Seventh Commandment rigidly. I have been fired from many jobs because, especially in the food service industry, I've been a cashier at grocery stores where I'll, you know, like I won't scan every third or fourth item if the customer's white, or if I see a white customer stealing and it's a corporate, you know, it's like a Jewish corporation, I'll let them get away with it. If it's the food service industry, for instance, I worked at actually the O. Anyone who's from Pittsburgh will know in the United States. Well, no, the O in Oakland, it's gone now, but it was the original hot dog shop and it had the best chips or what you call French fries and hot dogs you could get. And expensive, but really good. Personally, I think the chips were a lot better than the hot dogs. But I used to give double portions to whites and half portions to blacks because it would only be whites and blacks that would come into the place. Sometimes Orientals. But whenever the niggers would order something, I'd give them like half the French fries they were supposed to get. And the white people would always get double the portion. I got fired from that job because of that. And they said, you got to stop doing it. I'm like, no, my religion requires this. But, you don't have to be that obvious and that open about the Seventh Commandment. There's a lot of sly ways of doing it. Some people, they read the Seventh Commandment and they'll say, well, I'll always get fired. I'll never have a job. That's not true. I'm the world spokesman for creativity. I'm the great promoter. And this is really my job. This is what I do. I believe in creativity. I've lived on the street. I've done 12 years total incarceration time. That's county, state, and fed. I've lived on the street. I lived in a shelter in Jigtown. I'm not making that up. I lived in a fucking shelter in the ghetto at one point in my life. I don't have a problem suffering. I see it as a badge of honor to suffer. And I truly believe, ever since I converted, that creativity is truly the only creed. There was a brief moment where I was a little mad at the lack of activism and dedication from other creators. I kind of went sideways a little bit for a couple of years, but I've always seen creativity as the end stage goal of white racial evolution. I really have. I don't have a problem with that. This, as far as I'm concerned, promoting creativity, being the Pontifex Maximus of the church, this is my job. This is what I care about. So for me, I don't have a problem being fired from a job. I've been on welfare. I've lived on the street. I'm dedicated. I'm not saying you have to follow the Seventh Commandment because once again, like salubrious living, people look at it and they say, well, wait, if I'm open about, treating white people, giving preferential treatment to whites and openly, being Jewy with niggers, I'll get fired from every job. You don't have to be open about it. I'm open. I want to be perfectly honest. You can go through your day following the 16 commandments without rubbing in everyone's face. I wear it on my sleeve. I dress as a skinhead. I shave my head. I wear white power t-shirts. I wear boots. I wear, red laces in my boots and I wear braces. It's obvious that I'm white power. And when people ask, I'm very open about being irreverent in creativity. But I'm you, who's new to this, who might be even new to white racial loyalty, who came across our website looking for a white creed to believe in. You don't have to say salubrious living or the seventh commandment and rub it in everyone's face. You don't have to do that. I do that because that's the way I am. I am a fundamentalist. I am orthodox, which is why I'm poor. But hey, at least I have a cat though, right? So all is not lost. People think it's amazing that I haven't gone off and blown my head off or something because of all the bullshit I've had to face. Hold on a second. But I feel I was really born for this. I enjoy the ups and the downs, you know? I mean, life is never as sweet without the sour. You cannot enjoy being alive. And this is something that we creators believe in because we don't have an afterlife, is we believe in enjoying life. That's another thing I want to bring up. We do believe in enjoying life and living it to its fullest because we have no afterlife. So we have to fucking live this because this is all we got. This and our offspring, of course. we believe in living life. And, it's enjoying life cannot fully be enjoyed. You cannot appreciate the ups, the good things in life, the loves that happen in life, unless you have some downs. It's people ask me all the time why I'm so optimistic. I don't know. I guess I was just born this way. But they say, how can you deal with the bullshit that you do and just keep going with a smile on your face? It's because I have good memories. It's because I know things will not always be down, that they will become good. It's because I recognize that life is supposed to have ups and downs, that I can deal with the downs. It's people, it's like these modern Americans, and Canadians, they grow up with everybody deserves a trophy. You should never say anything that gets you down. And then they don't know how to deal with real life. I lived on the street. I had to deal with it. I was like, well, I have good memories of when I wasn't living on the street, but this is just a stepping stone and I'll get through it. And I did. I don't see how anybody can function if they don't have a handful of bad experiences in life. I don't see how you can possibly function for when the real bad shit starts. Like for when the system collapses, like we're starting to see now how it's starting to crack and crumble, when it eventually collapses and there's no more Walmarts. And people can't just fucking call up the cops and the fire department and the EMS, and they can't go to Walmart to just buy something. Yeah. These people are going to fucking flip the fuck out. They'll probably end up killing themselves or just shooting their neighbors. Having a little salubrious coffee. It's organic. Good stuff. Trader Joe's. Can't promote that enough. Trader Joe's, a family-owned corporation that has organic items. It's like 60% of what's in their store is 100% organic, and they're fair prices, too. Can't beat that. Anyway, so let's see. Commandment number 8. Destroy and banish all Jewish thought and influence from society. Work hard to bring about a white world as soon as possible. Number 9, work and creativity are a genius. We regard work as a noble pursuit and our willingness to work as a blessing to our race. You will find that commandment sometimes gets fucked over in society, especially if you live in certain places in America, as well as places like Canada and the UK and Australia and South Africa. You're going to find that being white, let alone racially conscious, is going to fuck you over in the job market. This happens to me all the time. But, as I said before, you can never appreciate the ups without the downs. So, you just got to keep striving. One of the great things about being white is we have this ability to take a bad situation and to make it work to our advantage, to overcome it. This is how we got through the Ice Age. We got through the 100,000 years of the Ice Age because, you know, we evolved to have, to take hardship and to turn it into joy, to turn it into a triumph. You know, the Ice Age wasn't a defeat for us. The Ice Age hardened us. It made us who we are as a species. And that's a great thing. Hardship can lead to great things in life, both for you, your family unit, or the race in general. So, you know, once again, we must live life, but never see the negatives as being stepping stones that we can never, boulders that we cannot overcome. They're stepping stones, not boulders. They're stepping stones. Always remember that. Be a creator, be upbeat whenever, you know, shit hits the fan, whenever life gets you down. Remember that you are a member of the greatest race to ever live in the universe. As far as we know, you are the greatest race to ever live in the universe. Certainly on the earth, you are the greatest race. You are part of the greatest race ever. Always keep that in mind. Number 10, decide in early youth that during your lifetime, you will make at least one major lasting contribution to the white race. For me, that's promoting creativity. 11, uphold the honor of your race at all time. I have done that. I've gotten into many fights. Some I've lost. I'm not saying, I do want to bring up, you're not always, depending on where you live especially, but you're not always going to get into like fights and stuff, like street fights and stuff. Remember, being racially conscious, being a creator, let alone being a white racial loyalist, is you're going to face hardships in life. Remember, see them as stepping stones. Don't just run into like something bad, like your parents are giving you a hard time because you converted to creativity, and you'd say, oh, well, fuck it. It's easier just to quit. Don't ever do that. Don't ever give in to that type of tyranny and mental slavery. Don't ever, ever give in to pressure from your family, from community, from co-workers, from employers, landlords. Never, ever, the cops, what have you. Don't ever give in to that type of tyranny. Ever. You are a creator. Live your life according to the creed and the principles of creativity. Fuck what anyone thinks about that. The hell with them. The hell with how, you know, I've lost family members over my conversion to creativity. I've lost friends and family that won't have anything to do with me today because I believe in creativity and being so open about it too. Some of them can't handle me just believing in this. Others can't stand the fact that I'm so open about it. Mr. Black Sheep of the family here. I don't care. I believe in my race. I believe in what logically my brain tells me is correct, that instincts are to be followed. They're to be embraced, not rejected just because we live in the current era that we live in, where instincts are seen as handicaps or are seen as evils. Instincts are good. They're to be followed. Nature gave them to us, to all creatures, for a reason. You follow them. And I'm proud of my race's legacy. I mean, we built the pyramids. We built the Parthenon. We painted the Sistine Chapel, the Mona Lisa, all these wonderful, beautiful things. I mean, there are still works by the Roman Republic that are still around today, things that go back 25, that the Romans, that the white Roman civilization built 2,500 years ago, they're still being used today. No repair job. Aqueducts that they built, they're still being used. Piping systems that they built, that are still being utilized. Oh, not so many of those, more so the aqueducts. And the roads, the Roman roads. My father spent 3 years in Germany. I was raised Mormon, actually. And my father went to Germany on a mission for 3 years. And he was amazed when he did travel around Europe that he still saw Roman roads being built all the time. Being utilized with almost no repair. Some had zero repair. Some had very little repair. And you could always see the modern repair versus the ancient stuff. And he was just amazed that the roads were still working, you know, 1,500 years, 2,000 years, 2,500 years later. the white race is the master race. Be proud of that. Number 12, it is our duty and our privilege to further nature's plan by striving towards the advancement and improvement of our future generations. That's kind of where salubrious living comes into play. As I said, it's a suggestion, although we do believe in eugenics. Number 13, you shall honor, protect, and venerate the sanctity of the family unit and hold it sacred. It is the present link in the long golden chain of our white race. For some of us, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to create our own, brand new family units because our old family units, the ones we were born into, can't handle our conversion to creativity. So you will have to find somebody, you know, who's racially conscious or who wants to be, and raise a family, raise them the white way, raise them the creator way. So for many of us, we're unfortunately, we have to kind of start anew. But, you know, that's just one of those stepping stones. 13, you shall, oh, I'm sorry, I read that. 14, throughout your life, you shall faithfully uphold our pivotal creed of blood, soil, and honor. Practice it diligently, for it is the heart of our faith. 15, as a proud member of the white race, think and act positively, be courageous, confident, and aggressive, utilize constructively your creative ability. I think I've already talked about that in spades. It's true, though. Number 16, we, the racial comrades of the white race, are determined to regain complete and unconditional control of our own destiny. And that's what following creativity does, not following these other creeds. Nazism, a lot of Odinism seems two-dimensional. You know, so even the third position stuff seems kind of, it's either vague or regional, you know, something that really is only good for specific things at specific times. Creativity covers everything you will ever, that you, your family unit, or the white race will ever encounter, ever. That's what's great about creativity. It truly understands life, DNA, how to navigate, how to adapt, how to cope, how to overcome. That's what creativity teaches. It teaches these principles. There's no other creed really talks about it in its depth, in the depth that Ben Clausen did. Ben Clausen gave us, as I said, in plain black and white English, all we ever really need to know. That's what's great about it. let's see. Creed and program. Let's cover one more thing here. There's the essence of a creator, what a creator is, what a creator isn't. 14 principles of salubrious living. A lot of good stuff in here. The essence of the one and only true white racial religion, creativity. That's a good one. Lessons of nature for white survival. I'm going to read, though, what we believe in. Now, this is also the five fundamental beliefs are supposed to are to be memorized and repeated five times a day as a mantra. This is also to be done at least once a day, what we believe in. And you can find this in the Little White Book and the Creativity Manual that are both for free on our website. What we believe in is the daily affirmation. I do this twice a day. When I wake up in the morning, I repeat what we believe in, the daily affirmation, as well as the five fundamental beliefs and the 16 commandments. And when I go to bed at night, I repeat them again. And then there's three other times during the day that I repeat the five fundamental beliefs. Now, I do this when I wake up, when I go to bed, also at sunset. And then there's a couple other times, usually during meals, you know, as a kind of prayer. And I did write a creativity prayer that I wrote in 2001 after I converted that Matt Hale did post in The Struggle. And I do have a copy of that in the Creativity Manual. If anybody has a copy, I'm not sure if one of the copies we have on the website has that, but if anybody has a has copies of The Struggle from 2001 and 2002, if you could send me those, especially, or at the very least, the one where he published the Creativity Prayer by me, that would be great. I'd love to upload that. Just a little bit of nostalgia, I guess. Hold on while I take a drink. Let's see. So, anyway, but yeah, at meals, when you wake up, when you eat, and then when you go to bed, and that's when you can repeat the five fundamental beliefs. That's five times during the day. I do it at sunset as well because my eating schedule, I have insomnia, so my eating schedule is kind of weird. Sometimes I only really eat two meals a day, but whenever it's sunset, I also say it. And by the way, during the morning half of the day, I face east towards the sun. And then the second half of the day, I face west towards the sun. And that's something that Clausen didn't prescribe that, but I do that and I suggest it for these daily prayers and mantras as just a way of keeping focus, a way of seeing the sun's travel in the sky as being that the white race through creativity will thrive and survive. I mean, it's never darkest before the dawn, right? So it's just kind of a mental thing. Like, you know, you follow the sun during the day with these. That way you get it in your head that, yes, we will overcome these hardships. We will conquer. We will take back our world and we will be free once again. So that's just something that I came up with. It's something that other Orthodox creators do. And it's I suggest it for yourself. It's just good. Every day doing that, it just fills you with a little more, love in your heart, hope, strength, so that you can face whatever happens. And I have to tell you, like, even when I was living on the street, I would do that. I would repeat the five fundamental beliefs, and I always felt good, you know, for a little while after that, you know, not just like a minute or two. I'm talking like for next hour or two. Creativity really, it just really... I don't know. It's once again, it's just this spiritual feeling that I can't really describe it outside of it's just this deep seated emotional genetic connection to the words that Clausen put on paper. It's there's no other way to describe it. So let me go through the daily affirmation here, what we believe in, and remember that I want to point that out again. Follow the sun. Do it in the morning half, face east, during noon and the evening time, face west, and then say the mantras, say the prayers, and just remember that as the sun travels each day, so too the white race travels and navigates through all this hardship and will one day rise again out of slavery. And free from the Jewish tyranny that we face every day of our lives now. Creativity is a very positive religion. I want to say that. I haven't said that today in this broadcast, but I've said in other broadcasts. Creativity, unlike a lot of other white power creeds or any creed really, creativity is very positive. It's positive based. More of Clausen's writings are based on what's positive, not what's negative. Our detractors, of course, even people that claim to be white racial loyalists, hate on creativity, and they say, "Well, you're just full of negativity, or you're just bashing a lot of traditional whiteism, and you're just a real negative creed." That's not true. Majority of what Clausen wrote is very positive. Anybody who reads through Nature, Term, Religion, the White Man's Bible, and the Little White Book will clearly see a very positive religion. It's very positive. And it definitely helps to get you through all the bullshit that we see today. As I said, I lived on the street. I lived in a shelter in the ghetto. I've been fired from more jobs than I can count. And, I've lost friends and family because of this. But creativity gives me the strength. So let's go through now what we believe. I'm just going to read these off. They go through 18. We believe in the eternal laws of nature as revealed through science, history, logic, and common sense. We believe that the highest law of nature is survival of our species by all means and at all costs. Some people forget that. We believe that our race is our religion. We believe that racial loyalty is the greatest of all honors and racial treason is the worst of all crimes. We believe that what is good for the white race is the highest virtue and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. We believe that the white race is the finest and noblest creation of nature. That's obvious. All you got to do is look at the Sistine Chapel or the Great Pyramids or pretty much anything. We believe that creativity is the essence of the white racial soul. We believe that the white race is and always has been the originator and creator of all worthwhile culture and civilization. That's obvious. Just open up a history book. Preferably one before the 21st century, before they started editing and watering everything down. We believe that without the white race, any worthwhile culture and civilization are impossible. We believe that for the white race to survive, expand, and advance, we need first of all a revolution of values through religion. Therefore, we completely and categorically reject the Judeo-Christian, democratic, Marxist, liberal, feminist values of today and supplant them with new and basic values of which race is the foundation. We believe that Jew-spawned Christianity is the deadly mind poison which destroyed the glorious white Roman civilization and is currently destroying all of the white race. Therefore, Christianity must be exposed, defeated, and eliminated in order to save the white race. Remember that. That's number 11. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is in every conceivable way far more logical, consistent, comprehensive, meaningful, and inspiring than all other religions, ideologies, and political parties combined. Therefore, we strive that it eventually replace all other religions, ideologies, and parties, barring none. We believe in the unity of our white racial religion with our white racial state. Remember, we are theocrats. We believe in the total unification of the white race on the basis of one racial religion, creativity, and one racial language, Latin, in a worldwide white racial community. I want to point out again that we completely and categorically reject Nordicism, nationalism, ethnocism. If you look white, you act white, you think white, you talk white, you believe in the white race, you're fucking white. I'm sick and tired of these Nordicists. Some of them are Christian identity. Many of them are Odinists. You have these right wing faggots that aren't even white power, but that somehow play act at it, that will bash white people from Latin America simply because of where they were born. Well, does that mean that the Boers of South Africa and the Afrikaners of Rhodesia aren't white because they're born in Africa? Does that make them Negroids? I mean, the Boers, the Afrikaners, the Rhodesians are as fucking Nordic as you can get. Argentina is what, 70% white? Chile is probably 60-70% white. Uruguay is 85% white. Brazil's 50-60% white. Some of these numbers are a little bit outdated, I think, but Uruguay is, the recent number is 85% white. That's a recent number. I think Argentina is still around 70% white. just because you're born somewhere. I mean, what about the British Empire? There's a lot of white people born all over the world. That a lot of white people, very Nordic or Celtic or Alpine, were born, if you want to use these racial bloodline, most of that's just Nazism shit. You have these people that were born in India, or what about the ones born in Hong Kong, right? Right? I mean, the British Empire and the French Empire and the Spanish Empire, you have white people born all over the fucking place. So I want to reiterate that we don't care if you're Slavic. This is very important. We don't care if you're Slavic. We don't care if you're a white Latino, which would be Hispanic. Historically, the word Hispanic means white Latino. But if you're Latin or you're a white Latino or you're Slavic or you're Mediterranean white or an Afrikaner white, you're a Celtic white, we don't care if you're Italian, we don't care if you're German, we don't care if you're Anglo-Saxon. If you look white, you act white, you think white, you act in the best interest of the white race, you're fucking white. I am sick and tired of people bashing. We are the minority on the planet, let alone white racial loyalty or creativity. But that aside, being the uber minority that we creators are, the white race is the minority. We are outnumbered everywhere. We need to stop this bullshit. We are outnumbered on the earth. What is it, like 20 to 1? This is bullshit. This is such bullshit. You want to cut off like 2/3 or 3/4 of the white race just because you don't like their nationality? Because they were born in you know, between two lines on a piece of paper somewhere else, or because their last name ends in a vowel. You know, I don't understand that. If you look white and you act white and you think white, you're fucking white. Well, how is that so difficult? I can't tell you how many times I hear this from these Nordicist ass fags that, like yesterday, some fucking idiot who is like some right winger who's play acting at being a Nazi was like, oh, well, I mean, you speak Spanish, so that makes you a spick, and you're from America, so that means you got to be watered down like mud. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like some asshole from Germany or Holland or something, or maybe England. But he was like, well, you speak Spanish, you're from America, so that means you're a spick. I'm like, what the fuck kind of bullshit is that? Like every other kid in America learned Spanish in school. I mean, it's like the dumbest reasoning ever. I'm as Nordic as you can be. I don't give a fuck where my family came from. I'm white. That's what I am. And I'm a creator. People ask me all the time, like, what's your ethnicity? I say, I'm a creator. I say, what's your nationality? I say, I'm a creator. They say, well, what's your culture? I say, I'm a creator because I believe in creativity. This religion is my end-all be-all of existence. I wrap my entire being, my entire life is wrapped around this. Nobody could do 12 years incarceration time if they didn't believe in something. Well, I believe in creativity. That's my religion. And I believe in anyone who's white. Anyone who looks white and acts white and thinks white is fucking white. Whether they choose to be a race traitor or a white racial loyalist, that's on them. But they deserve the right to prove themselves. They deserve that right because they were born white, and they deserve a chance to prove whether they believe or they don't believe, whether they reject their people or embrace their people. They deserve that. It's not upon any one segment of the white population to condemn everybody else. We are outnumbered 20 to fucking one at least. This is stupid. I'm not going to reject the 200 million white Russians that we have living in Russia and Eastern Europe. I'm not going to reject the 100 million white people we have in Latin America. I'm not going to reject five or 10 million white people we have living in Africa. I'm not going to reject these people. They're white. They deserve the chance, the opportunity to prove themselves. I'm sorry. I'm very strongly about this. And I'm as Nordic as you can be. My family is pure Nordic and Celtic, the whole family. I mean, as far as racial bloodline goes, I mean, you know, fuck all that ethnic nationalist stuff, because that changes from generation to generation sometimes. But my family, as far as being pure white, is as pure white as you can be. You know, I mean, fuck. I mean, my sister's the poster child for fucking for the Nazi maidens. it's just ridiculous. I'm sick and tired of this crap. We are outnumbered people. We cannot reject the millions of white people that live in Argentina, or the millions that live in South Africa, or the tens of millions that live in Russia. We cannot reject these people. We're already outnumbered. This is ridiculous. I'm going off a bit. I'm ranting a bit. Hey, there's at least one rant per show. That's my guarantee to you. There's one rant per show. I don't understand it. We are outnumbered. We cannot listen. We can practice eugenics down the road and give incentives to the Nordic, Alpine, Celtic peoples or whatever to have more kid than the soil Mediterranean peoples. But this is just bullshit. This is stupid. This is fucking retarded. I'm tired of it. I hate Nordicism. That's another reason why I reject Nazism, is because not all Nazis believe that you had to be specifically Nordic or specifically Germanic, but a majority of them did. And that's another reason why I rejected Nazism and converted to creativity, because I always have believed in, and my Nazism was a little bit different, I think, than most people's. It was like creativity, just with a kind of mystical mythos thrown into it. But, you know, creativity embraces all white people. All white people have the right to prove whether they are race traitors or race embracers. That's a right that you have born as a white person. I'm sorry, that's just something that really pisses me off. Okay, on to 15 here. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, has a potential of not only leading the white people to a worldwide victory, but also guiding them onward for the next million years towards a new white renaissance, a whiter and brighter world, and a glorious era of the white Superman. We believe that the white race, its biological and cultural heritage, is now under attack by our mortal racial enemies, Jews, niggers, and the mud races. Excuse me. We believe that due to the Jew-instigated demographic explosion of the mud races, we must, as a matter of life or death, not only start but also win the worldwide white racial holy war within this generation. And number 18, we believe that a racial holy war under the victorious flag of the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is the only road to the resurrection and redemption of the white race. That right there, number 18, that's what we believe in. There you go. One sentence. Well, I want to thank you for joining with me on this part one of Creativity, Creed, and Practice. This is the Creed and Program of Creativity. Part two will be on recruitment and debating people. That might be actually kind of a short show. I do have tips on dealing with infidels and debating people. That's can be found for free on our website by downloading the Creativity Manual 3rd Edition. And then part three will be holding a Sunday service, holding your own service. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. We actually don't have any set day. I just use Sunday. I used to use Saturday. Now I just use Sunday, and it's just because that's how work kind of just falls for me. So usually like Sunday, they're not that busy or something. I don't know. Usually everybody's busy Friday and Saturday, but you can always get Sunday off, I guess, no matter where you live. But yeah, so we'll do that. I will, of course, throw in some extra stuff because I don't know really. Probably just be a 10-minute show if I talk about debating people. Anyway, but this is part one of Creativity, Creed, and Practice. And we'll do part two. I'll do part two soon and then part three, and we'll get those uploaded. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in. I hope that all of the new recruits and supporters and members that we have, especially in Canada and Eastern Europe, I hope this was helpful. I in Canada, I know you have speech laws that make promoting creativity difficult. I will talk about that in the next episode. And in Eastern Europe, I understand nationalism and the Eastern Orthodox Church are very hard because in Eastern Europe, both of those are seen as white power and white power, white pride. And so it's hard to be a white racial loyalist in Eastern Europe and to actually reject nationalism and Christ insanity. Those are difficult. I understand the burden that in those places that you're under. So hopefully this helped. And always remember that creativity is a positive religion. And, you know, remember that the sweet is never as sweet without the sour. They're just stepping stones, my brothers and sisters. All negative things, all bad things happen in life. They're just stepping stones. You can get over them. We can get over them together. And if we do follow creativity, not only will we be able to work for a whiter and brighter world together, but we'll definitely be able to win this racial holy war. Rahoa!